Welcome to Future of Journalism, a podcast from Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism at the University of Oxford. I'm Mitali Mukherjee, Director of the Institute. It's a special series of our podcast. This one is all about Digital News Report 2026. And what we've been doing through the course of these episodes is really unpacking the most comprehensive piece of research on news consumption worldwide. This is our 15th edition. It's based on almost 100,000 interviews, so reflective of half the world's population. That's six continents and nearly 50 markets. In this episode of the series, we're joined by co-author of the report, Craig Robertson. Craig has authored a chapter on how people consume online news video. What platforms are people using to watch video, generational differences in viewing habits, and the impact of smart TVs as well. Craig, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So since you are probably going to use the word pivot, the term pivot to video, Craig, maybe we can have kind of a challenge of who uses that term more and the winner buys the other one a round of drinks. But let's kind of dive right into video, which has really been such a big phenomenon of this report as well, I think, this year, and something we've been tracking over the years, which is news consumption through online news video. Let's work with kind of descriptors first on what that term includes and then some of the key findings across the markets.
Yeah, so I think one of the most important things to point out at the start of the podcast is that we're talking about the report and the chapter I wrote are about online news video. So this isn't terrestrial broadcast television, which we do cover, but this is specifically news online, news provided by the internet. So that's might be social media clips or live broadcasts on YouTube, or it might be news segments posted to news organizations' own websites. We wanted to explore this more because it's an increasing mode of access for video, as broadcast news has long been in decline on terrestrial television. And yes, one of the other most important things to address at the start of the podcast is the dreaded phrase, pivot to video. Any newsroom people listening right now might shudder hearing that. For context, if anyone is not aware, years back, I guess around a decade ago at this point, there was this big pivot to video push. Newsrooms were told by social media companies to invest in video, publish a lot of video, and you'll be rewarded on our social media platforms. Turns out a lot of that was built on faulty and misleading metrics from the platforms. So I guess the question people would ask with this year's digital news report and our findings is video actually as popular as it seems, or are we seeing another pivot to video again? And I think, thankfully, what I think I found in what I've wrote in my chapter, I've only used the phrase pivot to video once, and that was in relation to Instagram's own business strategy. So it's not technically me, I don't think. And they have been heavily pivoting to video. But what I do find is that there's an appetite for online video increasing. The demand does seem to be there now, and it's for a few reasons we can get into. In terms of a general overview of things, I think the main headline findings I would say are there is an appetite for news video, and especially it's in the global south. Also, at the same time, there is an appetite for longer content, especially on platforms like YouTube. And it's not all just about short form. There is the story of TikTok and the rise of TikTok and short form, but there is an appetite for longer form content, even among younger people who have been part of that short form demographic.
Okay, let's unpack all those three headlines. And you pointed to a little bit of kind of variation across markets and a hint about what's happening in global majority countries. What does the variation look like across markets?
Yeah, so this is, I think, really important and distinctive, and it's an important sort of general picture to draw. The markets with the highest rates of online video consumption are pretty much all in the global south. It's very high rates of use in Asia Pacific. So Thailand, for example, we have weekly usage of online news video like above 80% of people in the sample. Similar in Latin America, where again, it's over 80% in countries like Peru. And then on the other end of the spectrum are pretty much most of the European countries. So very low rates of online news video consumption on a weekly basis in places like the UK, Germany, and the Netherlands, where weekly use is only around half of the population, so compared to the 80%, a lot lower. And in the same context, these markets always tend to have lower social media use in general, especially for news.
Mm. And you say 50%, Craig, but that's still sort of half, which is a really sizable number. How do you explain these kind of differences that we see across regions and markets? Are there any two or three very clear indicators of why?
So there are a few varying complicated things going on, all sort of intertwined with each other. One important thing might be sort of the confluence of cheap data plans, high rates of mobile phone usage, and people coming to the internet mostly through their phones. In a lot of Global South context, for instance, there are cases where Facebook was the internet. It was the gateway into the internet for a long while. And of course, that's going to boost usage of social media, but also social media for news and online news video usage. These are also markets, you know, for example, Thailand have very, very high social media platform usage compared to some of their European counterparts, or even in Asia Pacific. So Japan, for example, has lower social media use. Many of the Global South markets we have in our digital news report also have younger populations, which I think matters in the sort of very broader, wider context. Younger people are just going to have fundamentally different news media habits because of the environments they've grown up in. They've grown up in a world entirely conditioned by phones, by computers, and the internet. So this happens everywhere, not just in the Global South, but it's important context to have, especially as it relates to younger people. And then, you know, as I say, at the other end of the spectrum are countries which have managed to hang on to public broadcasting or just broadcasting in general a bit more. Freudian slip there, because I think part of the point is some of this has to do with the strength of public service broadcasters in countries like the UK and Germany, which other markets might not have or their public broadcaster doesn't have the kind of reach that the BBC does, for example, in the UK. But overall, even though they've managed to hold on to those audiences a bit longer, I think this is a story about older people continuing to hold on to that broadcast TV watching habit, and not about younger people coming into this type of behavior. Younger people have very different types of behaviors.
And to be clear, for those listening, Craig, when we talk about these platforms, we're essentially talking about social media platforms, all of which now have the ability to host video. And then we're talking about video platforms as well, like YouTube, TikTok, and as you mentioned, Instagram, that did do that pivot to video. Give us a sense of how and where this is most prevalent in terms of where audiences are turning to. Where's the consumption, you know, kind of moving at a really fast clip?
So the fastness is part of the story. I can talk about that. So when we look at the markets we cover and across the board, when you're asking, you know, where are you consuming your online news video, which platforms? The main market people are saying they still consume news online is Facebook. And I suspect this is largely a hangover of the fact that Facebook was and still is, the largest platform in the world. So you have around like 40% of people saying they get news videos on there on a weekly basis, but very close behind Facebook and increasing at a slightly higher rate is YouTube. And that's a platform we will talk about a lot more later because it's very important. In terms of the biggest rising platforms, we see much larger year-on-year growth in terms of consuming online news video. It's definitely TikTok and Instagram. Their growth in news video usage has been like huge over recent years, especially TikTok. But Instagram has been trying to catch up with that. And in fact, pretty much all social media networks that provide video of some kind are increasing in usage in most instances. On the other hand, when you look at news organizations' own websites or apps, their usage for news video has been decreasing year on year. So this is another branch of a story that we've probably talked about on this podcast before, the platformization of news. So increasing attention every year going to social media platforms, audiences putting their attention on YouTube, on TikTok, on Facebook, and even increasingly paying less attention to even news websites or apps, as well as, of course, you know, TV and newspapers.
You were speaking earlier, Craig, about the sort of demographic differences within regions and how that was impacting video consumption. Do we see demographic differences between these platforms as well? More viewers of one age group on one platform versus the other?
Use is definitely dependent on age. And I think that's the main sort of variable that we look at, especially in the Digital News Report when it comes to this. So across markets and across platforms, it's definitely about age. And I don't think it's about this thing about young people are addicted to TikTok and have no attention span. I'll get to this. The popularity for them at a base level is a product of the environment they've grown up in. As I said, if you're born in the year 2000 and you only had ever known as a child or as an adult, the iPhone, YouTube, Twitter, the internet, that's all you've ever known. I am slightly old enough to remember just the time before the internet, or really dial-up internet, like at a consumer level. But this access to technology has just fundamentally changed behavior in a way that we're seeing year on year as we do more reports. So, you know, older people grew up watching broadcast TV news by appointment, you know, the 6 or 7 p.m. bulletin, you tune in, see what the news is. They were introduced to cable news in the 1990s. You know, that's the world they grew up in. And the thing is that people tend to hang on to their behaviors, you know, the things they're used to. So one of the most common questions we get, and again, it's probably come up on this podcast before, is, you know, will younger people grow up and grow into consuming broadcast TV news or newspapers? And from most of the evidence I've seen, the answer is no. You're not going to shift young people's behavior that fundamentally. You know, everything is streaming now. Everything is on demand. And that's the preference young people have. That's the world they know. But, you know, long way around to getting back to the question. Online news videos, you know, on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok are far more popular among younger people.
One of the challenges for news industry folks, Craig, is kind of how to decide where to be and also what form and duration of content to post. So TikTok, for example, as you were describing, is in many ways, it sort of changed the syntax of video consumption with that vertical video, quite short format. Are there different lengths that people are consuming across channels?
Yeah, so this is one of the most fascinating things I got to write about in this report. And I'm glad we included the survey question. So yeah, as we say, the narrative has been about, you know, the rise of short form, the rise of TikTok, the dominance of TikTok. It's the social media story of the last decade, for sure, in my mind. And because of that, you know, you see other platforms like YouTube and Instagram investing in short form, you know, reels and shorts. And this is an interesting space because you ask yourself, is it all about this? So in this year's survey, we just ask a simple question, you know, when you're on online on one of these platforms watching news videos, like in general, how long are those news videos? They could be like short, under 2 minutes, or long, like 20 minutes or more. And how the data breaks down, especially by platform, is really interesting. It's not all just about short form. So of course, on like TikTok and Instagram, as I say, you know, Instagram being very hard trying to emulate TikTok, short form video is still the most popular type among users of those platforms. The same can be also said kind of about YouTube for the most part. But it's interesting actually when you look at the proportion of YouTube users who say they are regularly watching videos, news videos that are over 20 minutes long. It's a quarter of YouTube users. A quarter of YouTube news video watchers are watching long form video. And I personally find that really interesting and really important for news organizations.
And just specifically on younger people, a segment that the news industry has long tried to be reaching over the last few years, Craig, what do we know about their video consumption habits on the short versus long argument?
Yeah, so this is another fascinating thing. The appetite for longer content is actually greater among younger people. They're the ones who actually say they're more likely to watch a long-form video on platforms like YouTube. And part of that is I think it's just become what they're used to online and on the internet. And Bush, you can talk about it, we'll get to smart TV, but that link and in fact that YouTube has become such a mature platform accounts with some of what we're seeing in terms of people's willingness to watch quite long content on platforms like YouTube.
The fundamental challenge is this, Craig, which is that these platforms we're talking about don't exist just for news. So you have kind of news organizations jostling for space amongst many other forms of content. And indeed, we don't know what kind of uptake the news content that is published by these mainstream news brands has on some of these platforms. But how does video news consumption compete with all of and everything else that's available in that universe?
Yeah, so this is it's a difficult question to grapple with. And it's an important topic to get into because in most instances, I'd say people are on social media and video networks for reasons that are other than to do with the news. So they're there to like see, you know, friends updates, memes, entertainment content, whatever you can get and you're looking for, you can find on the platforms. So that means a lot of people are actually just seeing news on these platforms incidentally, you know, accidentally or unintentionally, if you want to call it that. But this does differ by the platform, and it's important. There's, of course, you know, that subset of news lovers, you know, the kinds of people who are going to these platforms for news because they're news junkies. Maybe it's not all the time, but a decent amount of the time they're going to the platforms to get their news. But then if you think about it in a wider sense, if you think of the platforms themselves and how people are approaching different platforms, it's actually interesting that I find that people who use YouTube for news see it more as a destination compared to those that don't see it that way. So in other words, basically, more than half of people using YouTube for news see it specifically as a place to seek out news. They're going there. Half of them are going there to get news from the platform. And maybe that's because people see YouTube as this kind of hub for video content. It's a place to find things, specific things. It's like a streamer nowadays. It's like finding stuff on Netflix. Whereas a platform like TikTok is designed in a way that's a bit more random, you know. So when it comes to a platform like TikTok or Instagram, people are definitely mostly there for other reasons, not specifically for news. And they might see news when they're there, but that's obviously not a guarantee or maybe not even an intention on their part.
Mm. One of the really interesting things you unpacked in your chapter, Craig, was also about the presence of internet-connected TVs or smart TVs, as we call them, in people's homes, how that's impacting consumption of online news videos. Any variation amongst generations there?
Yeah, so this story of smart TVs is something I've been thinking about. Basically, it's the fundamentally different way that people seem to interact with their TV as a device now, which it might seem obvious when you think about it, but when you start thinking about it even more, it becomes more interesting. The TV as a device has not gone away. People still set up their living rooms and, you know, point their couch at the TV. We've been doing that for decades and people still do it. But how they kind of interact with the TV is fundamentally different now. So whereas once you maybe like turned on the TV and watched broadcast television, instead it's on Netflix, it's streaming. And it's increasingly looking like that for news now, which I think is the important thing to note. People are opening up the YouTube app on their TV, on their smart TV, and watching news videos that way. And it's especially a habit amongst younger people. And that comes back to the trends I talked about, you know, people holding on to older behaviors or developing new ones. So older people in our data are still more likely to watch broadcast TV, while younger people are preferring streaming and on-demand news content. So fully 70% of young people say that when they're watching a news video on their smart TV, it's via an app like YouTube or another app that's internet connected. They're not watching broadcast television.
Finally, Craig, any takeaways for news publishers who have been thinking about that pivot to video, creating video, making it a core part of their news product? What do they take away from this report?
This is a difficult one because of the fear people have around the pivot to video and the caution people have. But I will say, you know, in our data, at least, the appetite for online video is there and it's on the rise, especially for younger people and on mobile phones and smart TVs. And I think a fundamental thing for publishers to decide, I don't make the decisions, and I just provide some guidance, potentially some data sets to look at. And I think it's just important to decide like which platforms you want to be on and then knowing why you're there. You know, do you want to be just on YouTube or on YouTube and Instagram? Or, you know, do you want to be making just vertical video or horizontal video as well? A lot of choices to make, and all of expensive choices to make, of course. And then like, how long should the video be on that platform? So our data has some sort of guiding points that might shape how people think about this. Because I think intention is very important, you know, rather than being on a platform for the sake of it and just pumping out video, you know, why am I there and why am I doing this video and how long does it need to be? Because there's so many platforms now, you can't stretch yourself thin. And then you also, interestingly, you know, when you think of a smart TV, how do you think of it as a business? If you're like a traditional broadcaster, you know, as it relates to the TV, do you develop an app for your video? Do you just put everything on YouTube? That's a really difficult space because you're then competing with the likes of like Netflix and Disney Plus, and there's huge competition for eyeballs on that platform. So it's another entirely huge conversation. But I'd say the overall takeaway from the data I have and the chapter I wrote is there is an appetite for video. There is an audience. It's not all about short form, and there are opportunities to make longer video content work. It's just finding the right audience for that and finding the right place to get them to watch that content.
Great. Thank you very much for joining the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Our guest today, Craig Robertson, postdoctoral research fellow here at the Reuters Institute and co-author of the report. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Digital News Report 26. There's plenty more in terms of findings around creators, impartiality, the use of AI chatbots. So make sure you tune into that if you find that interesting. And of course, to stay across any news from the Institute, you can subscribe to our weekly newsletter. Follow us on Blue Sky or indeed follow us on LinkedIn. From the team here, goodbye. Thanks for listening.